Welcome back to Talking It Out with Mike and Brian. And on today's show, we have Ivan Hall from The Bachelorette Season 16. And we're going to have a great conversation. We're going to talk about him being a biracial man in America. He's the first Blasian contestant on The Bachelorette. So I'm excited to ask him questions about his multicultural background.
Yeah, same, man.
What about you, Mike?
Same. I want to learn, quite honestly. I don't have many people in my circles that are Blasian, so I just quite honestly want to just grab all information I can, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I feel he's like the perfect person to talk to. I mean, with everything that happened last summer and now everything that's happening now, you know, with so many Asians being attacked in the community, you know, I think I definitely want to hear what he has to say on that subject.
Definitely. I know Ivan and I spoke lots of times offline. Stop Asian Hate, Black Lives Matter are big on the forefront for both of us. And yeah, I want him to be able to talk about the things that he's done for the Stop Asian Hate movement, because a lot of times we live in a world to where if it's not on social media, it isn't real, which is complete BS. And I know Ivan does a lot for his community. And so I want him to be able to speak on that.
100%.
Family and friends. So what's been taking place in America and Bachelor Nation is just quite honestly crazy, but also beautiful, because we're able to talk it out. And Brian, you are in a beautiful, loving, authentic relationship, R&B. Y'all got the hashtag, everything going. So like, can you tell me, please, in our audience, what has been your experience in your interracial relationship?
My interracial relationship has been amazing. You know, I love Rachel, we love each other. And, you know, the relationship has been great. You know, obviously there's ups and downs in every relationship, but as far as like what I've learned, the most being married to a Black woman is pretty much just that. All the plight that Black women go through in this country, right? I mean, I had dated Black women before, but, you know, this is the first time in my life, like, I've lived with them. I've, you know, talked to her on a daily basis. She expresses to me all her frustrations, all her concerns. So it's like I've gotten like a backseat look into everything that she goes through, you know, how strong they have to be, you know, just all the bullshit that they put up with on a daily basis, you know, from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep, they're fighting to be heard, they're fighting to be respected. And, you know, I see all that and I'm in awe. Like I admire her so much for the strength that she has. And, you know, it's unfortunate because when Black women do try to stand up for themselves, they're labeled, right? Yeah. They're labeled angry black females, as
which opposed I'm tired to, of that shit.
What's that?
I said, I'm tired of that shit.
Yeah, no. You know, as opposed to their white counterparts, you know, who would be looked at as bold or, you know, strong, or, you know, telling it like it is, you know what I'm saying? And it's like just a different perception from the world. And I just think it's wrong, you know, it's not right. And I just want to commend my wife, and as well as all the other beautiful women of color out there who put up with stuff like that, microaggressions on a daily basis. And I think I just have a whole lot better understanding of how frustrating it can be in this country to be a Black woman, just based on everything that I've gone through with my wife. And, you know, it's not only, you know, the Bachelor franchise, but it's also outside the bubble in everyday life, you know. So shout out to all the females out there, and you know, I commend you all.
Do people perceive you as, people that don't know you, perceive you as a Caucasian man, would you say?
It's funny that you say that, bro, because when I first stepped out of the limo, Rachel thought I was Caucasian.
Oh shit.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I thought you were a white boy. Like, so when I stepped up to her and then I actually spoke in Spanish, that's why her reaction was so genuine, because she was like, oh, like she did not expect that to come out of my mouth. Yeah. And it's funny because I actually get that a lot. You know, when I was in my practice, you know, back in the day, I would be speaking solely English, and you know, I think people just have these assumptions like, okay, he doesn't have an accent. He doesn't necessarily look like a stereotype. You know, they look at my skin, let's say, yeah, they go, oh, he's white boy. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm actually of Latin descent. you know, I'm Hispanic and
Canelo.
Yeah, I get that a lot, man. It's, you speak Spanish? I didn't know that.
That's crazy, man. Like, yeah. Have you noticed, because Rachel's from Dallas, I'm from Dallas. I'll tell my story in a second, but have you noticed, depending on where you and Rachel are together geographically, that there's a difference when people view you?
Oh, man. Yeah, like, I think... Are you speaking in terms of racism?
Just race. Do people look at you and Rachel when you guys are holding hands, let's say walking down the street, walking
Concord? Oh my God, yeah. I think racism is obviously a global issue. I don't think it's, so I don't want to like point out certain countries or, you know, certain people that.
But just here in America, right? Yeah. So when you just moved to LA, but you're in Miami, but Rachel's from Texas. Like when you're in these places, do you feel that it's worse in some places in comparison to other places?
Yeah, I do. I don't think anybody is, you know, everybody in every culture has people that are, you know, prejudiced or, you know, racist against other people, and it is what it is. Like, I've gotten the stares in Miami from my own people, you know, Latin people, you know, looks from Black people, and even out in Europe. Like I was going to mention, we were out in Europe on vacation and the stares were overwhelming. Like, I don't know if they just aren't used to seeing, you know, a person that looks like me with a person who looks like her. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But they were just looking at us like we were aliens from another planet. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. I don't want to paint a broad stroke over, you know, everybody in those countries in Europe and South America. You know, there's people that, you know, that doesn't bother anybody and they just let people live. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's still not commonplace in people's minds sometimes.
I agree with that. I mean, of course, this entire conversation is a broad stroke, right? We're all beautiful individuals, but we're speaking in generalities with this. I have a hard time talking about this, man, because, and on our podcast, I vowed and promised to always keep it 1,000, to always talk it out. The reason I have a hard time with this is because me, I'm a light-skinned dude that's successful in terms of some people's eyes, and now I'm on TV, and it's like, yo, he only like white girls. And the only thing...
Which is the farthest from the truth, I imagine.
Damn right. So you see, like let's be honest. When I text you, you know, right? The lady that I text you,
I mean,
your
past history. I mean, it's crazy because they see Rachel choose me.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, she only likes, you know, people with lighter skin or whatnot. Correct. And it's like her whole history, she was dating, you know, Black men. You know, she was dating different types of men, majority Black.
Yeah.
And they just think, okay, just because you married him, that's basically what you've dated your whole life. And that's for you. I mean, I can imagine how frustrating that would be.
No, definitely. But like you just said, when it came to Rachel and yourself, someone told me this and I sadly agree. Perception is reality. And the reality TV that we came from, for you and Rachel, that's people's perception of what Rachel is, right?
Yeah.
I dated a white girl on TV, so therefore people automatically assume and only feel that white girls is all I like, when that truly couldn't be further from the truth, right? The only woman I've ever been in love with was a mixed race woman, Black and white, from England. And I remember my first girlfriend, like as far as girlfriends, I've dated everybody. As far as girlfriends, they've all been Black. And so it truly is frustrating for me to have this conversation, this topic. And I asked you the question about where you go, because I've dated white girls and been with them in Florida. No big deal. LA, no big deal. But I remember specifically this one young lady that I dated who was white. We were at IHOP in Dallas, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can feel
the tension.
You could cut it with a knife. Matter of fact, the young lady that I dated, we went to the mall, and I remember it was these three Black ladies, and the way they looked at me, it was like,
was it mainly like, were you the one that felt it, or did she feel it as well?
I don't think
she was like oblivious to it.
I think she was oblivious to it, to be honest. But that's a conversation we should have had. But she knew that I was holding her hand. She knew that I'm still representing her. So I don't think it touched her. But for me, in my head, I felt as if those black women were looking down upon me because I dated outside my race. And now I get so many DMs, bro. Even on my most recent post, one woman said, literally on my most recent post, you can go to it right now. She said, only if he liked black girls. And I'm like, yo, it hurts me. It hurts my soul because I speak about my three queens who are all black women. My mom, my sister, my grandma, the woman I've only ever loved, right? And I'm just tired of that. I'm tired of people judging others because who they love. And I'm tired of having to constantly look at my feed and think, man, do people think I only like white girls? Or man, when I get braids in my hair, am I gonna scare some people away? Like, I literally, these are things that I think about, bro, and I shouldn't have to.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, man. And I mean, as a disclaimer, Mike is an equal opportunist. I mean, he loves all women.
You know that for a fact.
He does not discriminate. So, I mean, yeah, it's sad, man. It's sad. And like, yeah, like I was telling you, like whenever we went, you know, overseas or even here in America, bro, like you just get stares and it's, for whatever reason, it is what it is. It just comes with the territory and you just got to be strong and, you know, secure in what you got. Is that kind of stuff can gnaw you sometimes, you know, and you just can't let it do it.
It definitely can gnaw at you. You shouldn't let it do it. But it's hard, man. It's a very, very hard. I've even, to be honest, I don't know if Rachel even told you about this. I hit up Rachel one time and I asked her a question about this. Literally, this was a while ago, bro, maybe a year ago. I was like, Rachel, if I were to date outside my race, how would you judge me? How would you look at me as a black woman?
Say?
Rachel was G. She was cool. She don't give a damn, right? But I asked other.
But it's black funny because I think her feelings have changed on that. Like, I think before she probably thought like those women in the mall. Like, she would look at you like, okay, you know, the white woman took another one of our men. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like, she would have thought like that. But I think she's.
But
more,
now that she has her love.
Yeah, she's more open, you know.
She's
those
less
were
ignorant
feelings
now.
That she had back in the day when she was younger, ignorant, whatnot, and you know, now times have changed. So,
well, times have changed, but she was like, yo, she got a Latina that loves her dearly, and she loves dearly.
Yeah,
right. But I agree with you, and I maybe we, you know, Rachel, she should come on one day so she could defend herself. I think, which you, if you know, 5 years ago prior to you and Rachel meeting, she probably was like, yo, Mike, who you is with this white girl, you know? And that breaks my heart.
All right, so let's get into this next question. Somebody wrote in, my mom is Thai and my father is black, but I like white women. Should I at least try to date a black or Thai woman? What do you think, Mike?
Yes. Yes.
In simple terms.
I do think that sometimes geographic-based and income-based make that hard. What I mean by that, I live in Austin, Texas, and I'm financially free. In my building, I think I'm one of two black guys, right? Bill Bellamy, he said it best, I think. He said, look, I live in LA. He was like, I like women. Ain't no women in the circles that I go, ain't no black women in the circles that I go around. And Bill Bellamy's a black guy. He said, there isn't black women in the circles that I go around. He said, I'm gonna date
What's
around me, right? I'm gonna date from what's around me. And so me living in Austin, I think there's 8% black people. Now subtract that from the money that I have, like the lifestyle I live, it might be less than 1% black women, right?
Simple, it's math, man.
It's simple math.
Percentages,
Well, with that being said though, to this question, you bet not steer away from that beauty of black women and Thai women. I say it like that.
Facts.
The culture that black women have is so beautiful, so strong. I know it. I've lived it. I scream for my black women. And I don't want you to miss out on that beauty, right? Thai women, I don't want you to miss on that beauty as well. Now, with that being said, I am a firm believer. There is nothing wrong with preference. Nothing at all wrong with preference.
Nothing at all, which is a whole other podcast in itself, which we got it, which we got to get into, man. That's going to be a heated discussion.
But I'm ready for it. That's what we have these conversations on our podcast so that discussions can be had. Yet and still, you have a preference. But if you've never dated Black women or Thai women, the old age question: how do you know that you don't like them?
Listen, like, at the end of the day, I feel like everybody, you know, knows what they like, but you don't know what you don't know, right? So I think this dude should definitely explore, you know, this could broaden his horizons when it comes to women, his likes, his dislikes, you know, what he wants in a relationship, because who knows what, you know, maybe other cultures like, oh my God, this opened my eyes to something grand and new, and it's like, I absolutely love this. You know, you never know how you're going to react, you know, in certain situations. So, you know, and I actually, from my experience, I experienced the same thing as you. You were in Austin, you were dating, you know, there's only a certain, you know, a majority is one race, you know, then you talk about the finances that puts you in, you know, specific social scenes that, you know, may not be conducive to having a lot of diversity. Kind of like the same thing in Miami, you know, where I would go to, you know, the bars and the clubs and whatnot, like, you know, certain lounges in Miami, and there'd be, you know, you'd kind of see like the same type of crowd each and every weekend. But I think with the invention of the dating apps, that's when it kind of like, for me, you know, my dating selection started, you know, varying tremendously, you know what I mean? Because I was seeing all types of women on there, and it's like, look, if I see your profile, I'm attracted to you physically, like, I don't care what you, you know, what race you are, I'm going to swipe right. You know what I mean? And that was my mentality. So that actually put me in front of other cultures, other races. I was dating, you know, and just experiencing a lot. And I think that he would be selling himself short if he didn't do the same thing and explored, you know, his Thai and Black culture.
He would.
Background.
He would. This person wrote it, their mom is Thai and their father is Black, right? But they like white women. I spoke about this in my book, and I kind of called out IMDb because they put up the top 50 most beautiful women in America, and none were Black. None were Thai. They had two women that were of mixed race, and the other 48 were white girls. Pissed me the hell off, right? You know how beautiful my Black women are?
Absolutely.
You know how beautiful Thai women are? And I want to tell this person, I want to speak to him directly. A part of that is...
It's like mainstream media.
It's media. It's subconscious biases, right? Yeah. The reason... I always laugh and make this joke about the Kardashians, right? Hey, some Black guys win it because of Kardashians. Let's just keep it 1,000, right?
Yeah.
Kardashians, they know to like Black guys, right? And we have to be careful what we let enter our brain, because to that young man that asking the question, I appreciate the question, but if we go to IMDb, they only showing white girls. I told one of my homeboys, he's a photographer. I said, bro, you do wonderful work, but I'm gonna need some Black women on there. Period. I told him that, and he started to listen, because you are subconsciously
perpetuating
one race that looks beautiful. Yeah. When the most beautiful women I've seen in my life was, to be quite honest, Saudi Arabia when I went over there. I was like, Lord Jesus. I was at Emoji of the Drool. I mean,
there's so many beautiful, every country, man. You know, my South American women, hey,
I'm
know.
I'm going to Colombia the end of the year.
I mean, you'll see. You might change your mind from Saudi Arabia. I ain't going to lie. But yeah, man, all over the world, you know, all different races, cultures. I mean, there's women are all beautiful, you know, in their own right. And, you know, I think, like I said, he would... Don't just stick to one thing, because you may be missing out on something that could, you know, change your life. You know what I mean? So like, as long as you date, you know, and be diversified with that dating, at the end of the day, I think you can make a more solid decision as far as, okay, I like, this is what I prefer. Right.
Yeah. Again,
you don't know what you don't know.
Correct. Preference, nothing wrong with that. I will say that, if it's a look thing, there are beautiful women in every single race. I know Absolutely. That to be a fact. I've been in over 30 countries. They're beautiful. There's beauty all around, period.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if you have a preference when it comes to personality type, cultural background, I am telling you now, Black women are not all one way. Thai women are not all one way. White women are not all one way. Latina are not all one way. XYZ, right? And the list goes on. So you, again, you just don't know what you don't know. Again, nothing wrong with having a preference, bro, but there's beauty in lowering your ignorance.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, Mike, so I totally agree with you. I think, you know, he should diversify his dating and see at the end of the day what his preference is after he experiences all that. But what do you say we get into this conversation with Ivan?
I'm excited, man. Ivan's a wonderful guy offline as well, so I can't wait for the world to see him.
Absolutely. So let's bring on Ivan Hall.
Let's do it. Yo, can we get right into it, Ivan, if that's okay with you?
Hey, let's do it.
Can I ask, who was Ivan in high school?
Oh, that's a funny one there. That's a really funny one. So I was just like, I was, I'd say pretty geeky. I was in all AP classes. I was captain of our tennis team. I was like, I was pretty tall and super skinny. I was like probably, you know, 6'1", 6'2", and like a 152. So just a real awkward looking guy, man. I'm telling you. So
well, you said that as if you shrunk, or have you gotten taller? Or
No. Like I've gotten bigger now. Like I was okay, just, gotcha, you know, gotcha. Like I was like 150 pounds at 6'1", 6'2", is tiny, you know? Also, I guess like, yeah, I mean, I was just really into my studies. I was like, kind of a goody two shoes to a certain degree, I'd say. Also ran track, so just focused on sports, focused nice on my athletics and schoolwork, really. I ran the 200 and 400 meters, so.
Okay.
And the relays as well.
Okay, there we go. Nice. Yep. That's my favorite thing to watch in the Olympics is this track.
Oh, yes, me too. People sleep on track. I love watching track. That's like one of my favorite sports to watch for sure.
Nice. I like getting to know the man before the show, right? Again, if I was your high school friend, I want to know what Ivan is like. So basically what I'm learning is I could have cheated on your work because you were in all AP classes.
That was funny, yeah. I guess not.
No, so, I really couldn't. I wasn't in AP.
I got you. No, I got you, yeah. So I probably like hit my growth spurt like my junior year of high school. And that's when like things started to change a little bit. Like people started actually like notice, you know, and I was smart. So I, you know, had some things going for me. Hey. But no, I really I didn't have my first girlfriend until I was like 21, actually. I was like 20 or 21 in college. But yeah, like my junior, senior year, like I definitely started to like date, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
So you're from Dallas. You went to high school in Dallas too?
Yeah, I went to Plano East High School, so North Dallas suburbs.
Okay, North Dallas suburbs. Were you one of the, did you feel like you stood out in terms of race?
To a certain degree, yeah. Cause I mean, Plano, it's a pretty affluent area.
Yeah.
You know, mostly white and white people, I would say there for sure. So yeah, to a certain degree, I feel like I stand out as far as race goes. I always constantly get asked like, what race am I or what are you, like, no matter where I'm at, really.
What are you, bro? That sounds, do you get offensive by that?
Yeah, do you get offended by that question?
Honestly, I don't, because like, I kind of get it. I'm just like, there's not that many Black and Asian people, especially in the Dallas area, I would say. Like, I've never met another Black and Asian guy, I think, while I've been living here. So like, I get it. Like, I'm kind of like, you know, can't really tell. I have like really, really straight hair, but then I have like some Black features. So it's a question I get asked all the time.
fair enough. I went to high school in Grand Prairie. So I was just wondering how it is on the other side.
On the north side.
Yeah, north Dallas. You got the good area up there. So sure. Talk to me about, like, before going on TV or even being on TV and after now, how do you feel when it comes to social media? Like, do you give your opinion when it comes to racial tension, or do you feel that people do that just for clout? Like, what are your whole thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know. I mean, before the show, like, social media for me was, like, nothingness. Like, I probably had like nine or 10 Instagram posts, posted once a year. Wasn't that active. I mainly used to just follow like sports and stuff, you know? Then after the show, you kind of have to like start like, you know, adding content and whatnot. And then especially with like all the developments that have happened, you know, just in like all this Bachelor Nation craziness that I've been thrown into, like everybody's like, do I need to post something here? Like, this thing's happening. And then everybody's like, this is performative. That's, well, you just need to do it anyway. So it's just like a very complicated thing. I just think people should you know, do what they feel most comfortable with. I do think speaking out is a good thing on things, but I will say definitely sometimes it does feel like a little bit too much when you see it from, like, let's say 100 different people, the exact same thing. It's like at that point, I don't know, kind of like muddies the waters a little bit. But I mean, that's only on social media. Like, when within your inner circles, you should always, I think, you know, promote good positive change and talk about issues, especially, you know, with all the things going on in the past couple of years.
How do you take it? Like, what is, for you yourself, Ivan, what is your stance when it comes to speaking up and or speaking out or being quiet on social and just doing what you do with your heart and your personal life?
Yeah, for myself, like, you know, going forward, I think it's gonna, for me, social media is all about balance. So I do want to be able to incorporate things that are, you know, good for society. So that's why, like, recently I did do like an Asian standing up for AAPI and stopping Asian hate. I did a little bit of a BLM one back in the day. But, you know, I don't want like my whole page to be about that the whole time. I want it to be like a mix of like, hey, I'm just a fun guy too. Hey, I like to do, these are my hobbies as well. So I think it's just a mix of things. And it depends on like what's also going on in the world and what really hits home. Like recently with that whole thing where the Filipino woman in New York got, you know, assaulted, that 65-year-old one, that really hit home for me. Cause like, that's like my aunts and my mom were talking about it and they, you know, they're like, and my grandma. So it's just like, really hit home because my mom and parents are my mom and her family's Filipina. And I just like really just thought about like them being in that situation and how like devastating it would be. And it just was unfortunate that nobody even came to like her rescue. So that one hit home for me. So I really just felt the need and want in my heart to do that.
I feel for you there, Ivan, just because, you know, what took place, you feel for like that could be your mom, right? Straight up. And then also to be, to make hard up, make light of it, you can't wear a hoodie and go running up in Dallas, right? You are in a unique position, but also a beautiful position because you are a Black and Asian, this an individual. And right now we're having a lot of tension on both sides of the house. Like,
for sure.
What is, we don't often get time to speak to someone that is living that, right? And we have the beauty to speak to you who's living that. Like, what are your thoughts on just being a biracial Black and Asian individual in this country right now?
Yeah, I mean, I've always taken, you know, an amazing amount of pride, honestly, in like where I come from and both my parents and both their histories and cultures and whatnot. So I love being who I am and I'm very comfortable in who I am. Recently, like I said, in 2020 with everything that developed, that was big, heavy on the Black side. And, you know, a lot of people came together and stood up for a lot of great things and it opened up a lot of people's eyes, which was great. And, you know, the truth of the matter is like most people, like if you, it's like the one drop rule, like most people view me as a Black man. They don't look at me and like, oh, that's an Asian guy, you know, like when I'm walking down the street. So that definitely hits home. And that's definitely what most people see when they see me in that experience. But I also take a ton of pride, you know, in being Asian as well. Like I'll have to say like my dad isn't really close with his side of the family. And my mom's side is like extremely close. It's like my four aunts, or my three aunts and my mom, my grandparents. And like, that's where all the cookouts happened. That's, you know, all I ate was rice almost every single day. My mom was the cook of the family. So people like, are
that'll find you up real quick,
I'll
bro.
Tell you, but people are freaked out when they see a rice cooker, this like Asian style rice cooker in my kitchen right now. So, you know, that's like really rubbed off on me in a lot of ways too. And they're just like such a tight knit family. And, I've just learned so much, you know, it's what's awesome about it is like just being able to see these like two like really unique cultures that are like, my mom's from the Manila, Philippines, and my dad's from Southside Chicago, like two completely opposite worlds. Like you can't imagine, like my mom grew up there till she was 16 and my dad grew up on Southside Chicago and they end up like being married for 30 plus years.
How did they meet, by the way?
So they actually met, my mom moved here when she was 16. And then when she, I guess in her 20s, they met on a blind date. My dad, he was like, he saw one of his buddies was dating a Filipino woman. And he was like, hey man, hook me up with one of those little people. If you say it like that, my dad's a funny guy, man. I'm telling you, he's got, that man was a dog back in the day. But you know, he grew up and, you know, got, you know, settled down my mom. So.
She set him straight.
Yeah. So it's just all fascinating though, but. Yeah.
And what was that like, man? Like growing up with those two cultures? I mean, you know, it sounds like you were immersed in both. You know, What were those experiences like?
It's amazing. Like I said, with the Asian side, that's like mostly what I know as far as like the big family portion. But like on my Black side, I didn't get to, you know, my dad wasn't close with his dad. And then unfortunately his mom, who he was close with, passed away before I was born. But my dad's, you know, much older than I am. I just turned 29 years old. My dad is 73 years old.
Wow.
Grew up in South Side of Chicago. I was born in Mississippi, grew up in South Side of Chicago though. Had nothingness. So like he lived that like really, like when times were really like racially tense, like he told me a bunch of stories, like him and his friends and then the white kids would go meet up at the railroad tracks and just fight each other all the time for no reason other than just being like different races, you know? And, you know, he's had a lot of like crazy racial experiences, just growing up, you know, just being Black. And especially that long ago, like the crazy thing to me is like my pops is 73. So he was born in like 1940s, but his mom was actually a little bit older too. She was born in 1913. And like, I'm doing the math. I'm like her grandparents like lived during like the Civil War time basically. So it's like, we're not that far removed from like times where like slaves were still around, especially on my dad's side of the family. So it's all wild to me. And you know, my dad, that's the great thing about having a little bit of an older pops, is that he's super wise, and he's been able to share his life experiences with me, which has like helped me out a ton.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that, like what, you know, him talking about his experiences just helping you know what to expect being a Black man in this country. I'm sure that was a big huge help for you.
For sure. He's extremely cautious. Like he's like when I bought my first nice car, you know, when I started working as an engineer, this BMW 6 series, and he was like, Ivan always reminded me, he's like, careful where you're driving that thing around, you know, there's got a lot of haters out there. I'm like, Dad, don't worry about it, like I'm fine. But like those are the types of things he always reminds me of no matter what, because he just knows how things are, and he's like honestly scarred a little bit just from the way he's grown up and the things he's experienced.
I can imagine. That's some things I'll probably tell my child whenever I have one day. Can I ask you, like, because I'm not of mixed race, but you are mixed race, you are, you know, well off financially. Have you ever experienced people that are of Asian descent and or of African-American descent that say you're not enough per se? And how do you handle that? Like, what is your response to them? Like, you're not Black enough, bro. Or are you like, what do you say to that individual?
You know,
I see you smiling like,
no, yeah. Cause that's something, you know, honestly, like you hear, well, I've heard like my whole life. I feel like, you know, as you're growing up as a kid, you know, kids are going to be kids, you know, like they find out I'm Black and Asian, they go to every single type of stereotype you can think of, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely heard that kind of stuff all the time. It's interesting sometimes, like if I am in a group of, let's just say all Asian people, like I do realize that once they find out I'm like half Asian, that like calms their nerves, or they'll start to talk to me more. I feel a little bit more accepted. But like, I mean, today now though, I definitely like, you check that stuff at the door basically whenever like somebody tries to, you know, you don't let that stuff slide anymore, because you know that's the kind of stuff that, like, for myself, fortunately, like I was able to make it through and I'm pretty strong-minded and self-confident. But for somebody else, that can like tear you down slowly but surely over time, you know, mentally. So it's about being very comfortable with who you are and understanding who you are, and, you know, not tearing other people down just for being a certain race.
I think that you showed that you are extremely comfortable with being who you are, and you love yourself first and foremost, while still showing respect to other people while you were on the Bachelorette with Tayshia. So I know for a fact that what you speak is what you live by. So I, you know, want to salute you for that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, man. I try my best to do that for sure.
Hey, Ivan, I would be remiss, and our fans would be remiss as well, if I didn't ask you this, because we are a relationship podcast at the end of the day, relationships of all types and all kinds. What is your preference when it comes to ladies? Like, you are mixed guys.
And what was your preference? Did your preferences change? Like, maybe, you know, when you were at home living, and then all of a sudden after all this fame came about, has your palate changed a little bit? Or
I think with that also, you know, our upbringing plays a role in that, right? You grew up on North Dallas. You said that you aren't as close to your Black side, but, you know, really close to your three aunts and your mother. And so, like, just unravel that for me. I'm really curious about that. I find that fascinating for all people.
Yeah. So I think the beautiful thing, again, circling it back to my parents, is like, I did grow up seeing that relationship and how two people of a different race coming from crazy, like opposite sides of the world can come together and, you know, have a beautiful relationship. So that's what has allowed me. And like, I guess I kind of forced myself to always be open to dating people of all races. And that's what I've really stuck to, especially since I've been, you know, an adult past 18.
Is there anything that we don't know that you would like to, you know, unravel for us when it comes to race?
That you don't know. Nothing life shattering, honestly. I just, for myself and just for anybody, let's just say growing up who's like, you know, watching us on the screen or whatever, or in general, I'd say this to my kids, just try your best to always just feel as comfortable as possible in your skin and really accepting who you are as a person, and who you are is just okay. I think that's the most important thing. Don't let other people bring you down or use stereotypes to bring you down. And just be confident in who you are. That's like the main thing I always just try to stress.
I love that. I love that. Love who loves you and just forgo those that don't.
For sure.
I love that.
What about, speaking of your parents again, like as far as like advice on love, like did you go to your dad or your mom, you know, when it came to the females in your life for advice?
Yeah, the short answer is no, actually. It's kind of like,
no.
I really didn't, honestly. Like, I was always, I don't know, a little bit more shy about that. I technically have only had one serious relationship in my life. So, yeah, they met her. And, you know, I try to be more open now, honestly, talking to them about, you know, those types of things. But, like, growing up, I was just, like, really shy about it with them. And I will say, like, the main thing I learned from them when it comes to love and the fact they've been able to make it last for, like, 30-plus years that I take away is, like, that love is just very unconditional. That's like the main thing. Like once I love somebody for myself, like I'm gonna love them like to death for sure. And like I've seen that with them through, they've gone through so much stuff. And especially my dad with his health, he's had some major stuff happen to him. And like my mom's just there unconditionally ready and doing everything she can in her power to make sure he feels as comfortable as possible. And he's forever grateful for that. And my dad would do anything and take a bullet, do everything for my mom, no matter what, at the end of the day, even though they do have some tough times, it's not the perfect relationship. They're there for each other no matter what. And I think they can at least take solace in that.
I love that, man. I love that.
For sure. I feel like those are my parents, man. Like the same way you describe them, it's like they may argue, you know, all day, every day, but when it comes down to it, like love is love and they're there for each other and they'll do anything for each other. So it shows why you have a good head on your shoulders, man, and you're the man you are.
No, hey, I really appreciate that.
I think all three of us are simping because we all want love, and Brian, you have the love, so.
Show us the way, guys. It's a beautiful thing.
Show us
thing.
The way, Brian.
I know, I'm right? Sure, you guys aren't too far away, I'm sure.
Hey, but
in your future. Now, obviously, with everything going on in Bachelor Nation, I know you had mentioned in an interview, I believe, that you know you wouldn't feel comfortable if Chris Harrison was the host, but let's just say he is not the host and all things being equal. Do you feel that you would be a shoo-in for Paradise? And would you go?
As in a shoo-in, would they want me to be there?
Like if they wanted you, would you oblige if everything was to your liking?
I'd say yes, for sure. If I'm really thinking about it, there's not too many negatives of Paradise, to be honest. Like I get to hang out with a bunch of my guys. There's a bunch of beautiful women around, especially dating in these times. And it's a nice vacation. My work is very flexible. So there's not too many negatives, to be honest. It's a great opportunity to date a lot of great women and see some of my best friends, honestly. So, and then on top of that, my bachelorette experience was amazing. Like from top to bottom, it was amazing. I met a lot of great people. And had a great time. And they made myself and especially the key here is like they made my family look amazing on TV, which I'm forever grateful for. I've had an A+ experience. You know, just with everything that's been going on though, you do notice and things that are like sent to me on Instagram DMs and whatnot, you do notice a lot of things, you know, that they do need to kind of improve on. And I just hope that, you know, some open dialogue that I think has started, that they do make some changes and makes people feel more comfortable. Even though I had a great experience, other people are important too, people of color especially. So I think it'll all work out for the best, though, and we'll be able to make it happen.
Thank you for having the conversation about being a biracial man in America, being the first Blasian from bachelor history. We truly appreciate you. I quite honestly think that you represent Dallas well. You represent yourself extremely well. And I can't wait to see what you do in the future, man.
Hey, I appreciate you both.
Thank Brian, you for being nice vulnerable, man. Nice appreciate you,
Mike. Yeah, definitely, definitely. We'll talk.
Don't man. Text me pissed off.
No. I'm a FaceTime. No, I'm kidding. All right, yeah.
Oh, man, such a great conversation with Ivan, man. Dude has, you know, such a good head on his shoulders. I feel like he would be a primetime bachelor candidate. Just enjoy talking to him, man. What about you?
I completely agree. He is poised. He is strong, speaks his mind, and is an intelligent individual. So I love it. Love speaking to him, man.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in to today's episode.
Yes. And you know, we always love to hear your opinions, your stories, and your insights. So please don't forget to like, comment, follow, message us on social at Talking Out BN. That's Talking It Out. B as in Bachelor, N as in Nation, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Wondery app, or wherever you're listening to right now. And baby, don't DM me no more. Subscribe.